Hello and welcome once again to the Fair But Firm Boxing Talk Show with my sidekick here, John Zimmer. Joe Cortez here as your host. John.
Yes, sir.
This past weekend we had another good heavyweight bout.
Yes, sir.
Deontay Wilder did it once again. Mm-hmm. This time by KO.
Yes, sir.
He stopped Bermain Stavine, who he fought 2 years ago, winning the heavyweight championship fight from him, taking the title fight from him back then. And now, this time, he ended up knocking him out.
Yeah. Knocked out every opponent that he's fought.
I mean, Stavine was the only one. Yeah, he couldn't do it the first time
around. Couldn't do it the first time. He made up for it this time. He made up for lost time.
And that didn't even get hit with one punch.
Not one. The only punch he got hit with is when he hit himself in the chest.
Yeah, you know, Arthur McKinney Jr. did a good stoppage stopping this fight.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, Stavine was just out of it. He just didn't have anything left.
He was overmatched. He hadn't fought in, 2 years now?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just, I don't know, he had nothing left. It was really a shame that he had to fight him.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, a really nice gentleman. I know him. He lives here in Las Vegas now.
Yes.
And really was a decent boxer, but I think that he's seen the best of his career as far as a heavyweight.
I agree. And, you know, at the end of the day, he held the belt for a little while. Not how many people can say they were heavyweight champion?
I just hope he made a little bit of money.
I hope so, too.
And was able to do something with it. Because at his age, you know, he's 36 years of age, and that's actually 38.
Yeah.
He's 38 years of age, and that's not a good number for to say I'm going to get started in boxing.
You're on the wrong end of 30.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder, you know, he's young, he's 32, so heavyweight's going to develop a little later.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But he's 32 years of age and really has a good reach at 6'7", you know, I mean, very, very confident of himself. He came out there, I mean, he was throwing some dynamite punches, I mean, good jabs.
Oh, yeah.
Punches like... You haven't seen like jabs like that, like the days with Larry Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
He used to throw good jabs like that. That's what Dante Wilder had. And then you open up your openings when you throw the jabs, open up for the right punch.
Oh, he's got those great big windmills, and they get a lot of flack from a lot of boxing fans and purists and blah, blah, blah. But once you got a guy like Stavern just beat up, I mean, and you can just tee off on him, when you got the power that Deontay Wilder has, why not? I mean, even you saw that last shot that ended it.
Yeah.
He blocked it. I mean, he had his hand up,
yeah,
and it just went through his hand, his head, and ended it. I mean, ended everything.
Yeah. I would have hated to have been on that end.
Oh, my God. It's not as much. There's no – my hands couldn't block that with both hands. There's no way. That's just like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now they're talking about setting up
unification, baby.
Yeah, unification.
We've been talking about it for a while.
Well, you know, but, you know, this past fight, you know, with Deontay Wilder, he was scheduled to fight Luis Ortiz. You know, we spoke about it before. He didn't pass the drug test. And I just read in today's one of the websites here that WBA suspended Luis Ortiz for 1 year.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, and Luis Ortiz is about 38 years old himself, and that's another year.
Well, what does that mean, though? It means he can't fight in WBA, but can he fight in WBO, WBC, IBF?
Well, you know, normally when they suspend, I believe all sanctioning bodies, you know, they all...
Do they or should they?
You know, they don't all do it, but they should.
I agree.
I think WBA now is starting to fall in place with everybody
else.
I hope
so.
But they decided to take... Actually, suspended for 1 year.
Luis Ortiz, that might be it for him. This is not the first test he's failed. It's like, the second or third?
Yeah.
He's old.
It's a shame you have
that.
It's
a true shame.
I hate to see that in boxing because, you know, these guys, they stand to make a lot of money.
A lot.
You know, but they're not educated enough to understand the repercussions.
This is a guy who's going into, I mean, look, a month ago, he was in line to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world against Deontay Wilder, and now his career might be over.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what happens. That's the repercussions of I don't want to say cheating, but of getting caught using certain substances that you're not allowed to use.
Well, they claimed that there was for medication for high blood pressure. But you
have to release that to VADA.
Yeah, but apparently if they suspend it for a year, that means that whatever other research they've done, they found out that it was...
Really high blood pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, Wilder winning the fight Saturday night has called out for... Anthony Joshua.
Of course he did.
And of course.
I'll tell you, actually, one more thing on that Luis Ortiz thing. That was his third fight in the last 18 months, Wilder's, where he's the guy he's about to fight has gotten popped for something, and you could just see the frustration on his face and in his punches when he fought Stiverne. This is a guy who's gone through the ringer. He's been trying to get these big fights. He's been told by everyone that he doesn't fight anyone. He only fights bums. He agrees to fly to Russia to fight Povetkin. He agrees to fight Luis Ortiz. He agrees to everything and just keeps being unable to prove himself, and you just saw him tee off on Stiverne. That was years of frustration, just oof.
Well, he's definitely the unlucky heavyweight champion.
Oh, my God, yes.
For the time being, you know, he's heavyweight champion. But I think I think things will be start picking up now.
Yeah, 2018 is going to be really interesting.
I think so. You know, Josh's promoter is pursuing the fight with Parker.
And, yeah, Parker's a good fighter.
And so there's also talks with Tyson Fury.
A lot of talks. It's kind of weird because Tyson Fury, who, don't get me wrong, is undefeated.
Yeah.
And just came off a fight against Klitschko, beat Klitschko before Joshua did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he hasn't fought in 2 years. I mean, he's been out of the ring. He's gone through a lot of mental health issues. He's gained a lot of weight, lost it, gained it again, lost it. I mean, I don't know if he's ready for an Anthony Joshua now.
The
money involved in that fight.
It's good that they're talking about it, but they know better. They need a couple of tune-up fights before
I agree.
He fights Joshua.
Then again, if I'm Tyson Fury, I'm looking at that $8 million, whatever he would make to fight Anthony Joshua in England. I mean,
they'll probably make
so
more than that.
Well, I'm saying just him is what I was thinking.
Oh, no, but they're going to make a lot more because, you know, the crowd, he has
those crowds
a big following.
Stupid. And Tyson Fury was huge there before Anthony Joshua was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those guys are England boxing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens. And now you got also Joseph Park, who's a WBO heavyweight champion.
Oh, yeah, that's another heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, he got a decent record.
Yeah.
24-0 with 18 knockouts. He's coming off a decision victory over Huey Fury in September. So, but Anthony Joshua, you know, being that he's the IBF, IBO, WBA champion with 20-0 record.
Number him off.
And he's coming off the stoppage 2 weeks ago from
Carlos Takam. That was a fight, though. That's what makes it even more fun.
Yeah.
He looks overwhelming he looks like underwhelming in that fight. He's supposed to come out here and destroy this guy who got 12 days notice, a guy who's way too old to fight him, way too a lot of things to fight him.
Yeah.
And he gets this stoppage that we talked about it last week, was just kind of weak.
Yeah.
It was weak. And then you see Deontay Wilder, who everyone says, you know, or not everyone, but a lot of people say he's not in the same league of Anthony Joshua. And he fights a guy who's also really good, who's on the around the same level of Takam, and he just tees off on him. The guy doesn't land a single punch. Makes this a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I remember back in the days in the heavyweight division where there was a lot of activity going on.
Oh, yeah. It reminds you of that?
Yeah, I remember the days where Floyd Patterson was fighting Sonny Liston.
Oh, yeah.
Muhammad Ali was in the mix, I remember. And Ken Norton.
Yeah.
Jerry Quarry. I mean, those five guys I just mentioned, those guys, they could all be champions today.
World beaters, yeah.
You know, I mean, they were champions, but I mean, they were stirring up a lot of heat in the heavyweight division, and those guys. And now you hear these fighters, they're really unknown guys, and they have like records like, you know, 25-0 at 39-0. Those guys back in the days, they were having like 70, 60, 70 fights. They were really fighting a lot.
Kind of a different sport back then.
Well, you know, what is it? That back in the old days, a lot of these fighters, they brought them up. They nurtured these guys with 4, 6 rounds, 8-round fights, 10-round fights.
Yeah.
They didn't, after 50 or 25, they were not talking about championship fights.
No.
They were still talking about getting my first main event.
Exactly. You look at the Lomachenko method.
Yeah.
Where you throw a guy into a championship battle right away. You look at, there's this guy who just turned pro from Argentina. I just read about it a couple days ago. I don't remember his name. But he's already going to fight. He's fighting an 8-rounder against a guy who's like 25-2 in his first fight.
Yeah,
he's fighting against a guy who has 27 pro fights. That's insane.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. See, in boxing, sometimes some of these commissions got to be careful because you get some fighters who got hurt seriously. They can get hurt seriously if you don't watch them. You got
to
monitor.
There's so much money now. Promoters are in such a hurry to get their guy rich that they don't think long term. I know that, like, you know how De La Hoya gets a lot of flack for Canelo, people say he ducked Triple G for years. Think of how much money he made from slow rolling that
fight. Yeah, well, you know what? Oscar De La Hoya did the right thing. As a promoter, you got to watch out for your fighter. You know, you have to let your fighter get ready, get prepared, get that experience. You know, they need more experience. And Oscar De La Hoya did it right. I remember talking to Oscar about 3 years ago, saying, Oscar, what do you think about Canelo and Golovkin? He said, well, Joe, you know, we're not going to rush into that. It's going to happen, but you know, we're going to nurture him the right way, you know. And the WBC wants this, WBC, WBA wants that, WBO wants that, you know. So, and the promoter, sometimes he's at the mercy of some of these sanctioning bodies where they're demanding for this particular fighter to fight fighter who's number one. But, you know, your fighter is not ready because he's still young. You know, what's the rush?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, if you're a businessman, you got to take care of your... This is a business.
You
want to check out your fighter, make sure that he's ready to... I mean, if you rush Canelo Alvarez against Golovkin right off the back, he would end up getting stopped. He could end up getting stopped.
Golovkin five years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, 5 years ago, Golovkin definitely would have knocked him out. I mean, it took him 4 years to fight him. And what happened? You know, he still didn't look that good against Golovkin. Golovkin, you know, was putting the pressure on him. And they thought, well, maybe we can take on Golovkin by moving around, taking some punches, maybe he's getting older.
You think we're getting a rematch in that?
Oh, I think the rematch is going to happen probably. There's some talk that if it doesn't happen before December of this year, it's not going to happen for May of next year.
If you had to predict, do you think it'll get done this year or like before the end of this year? Do you think we'll get that fight in May?
I don't think so. Honestly, I really think that fight is going to happen in 2019.
Do you really think another year? Yeah, they're just waiting for Triple G to get old, huh?
Yeah, I think they're going to milk it a little bit and let this guy get a little bit older, you know. But you know what? They got to be afraid of. They got to be careful because if Golovkin ends up fighting somebody and gets beat.
Oh, yeah.
There goes your fight.
The whole cash cow goes right down the drain.
It's all drained, and it's all over.
That's funny. You know, going back to heavyweights for 1 second, I was just reading that Tyson Fury was tweeting at Deontay Wilder and telling him that please don't knock out Anthony Joshua because it'll cost him $50 million.
Yeah. Well, he knows that. That's why Wilder had to win Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Joshua was nervous in the sense that he said, oh, I hope and nothing goes wrong with Wilder. I mean, Wilder could have broke his hand. He could have got a severe cut. He could have lost a fight. And, you know, but they're looking
all at four of those guys have to hope that the other three, like, win every fight against everyone but them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting fight if the Joshua, Wilder, Fury. If Fury looks good coming back. But, again, he's got to fight some other contender. He cannot fight.
He looks so good. He looked so good when he was good. I mean, he was a guy 6'9" and that heavy, being able to move like he could. I mean, the guy was just unbelievable. So technical for that size.
Yeah, those guys are big. And you see in boxing, some crazy things happen. I've seen some crazy things happen when a fighter comes in there as a champion and fights an unknown fighter. Mm-hmm. Boom, he takes a punch, gets knocked out.
Buster Douglas?
But look at Buster Douglas. But another heavyweight. He was really unknown. I mean, he was so-so.
But
Tyson was the top of his game.
Yeah.
When that fight took place in Tokyo, and
well, let me ask you this: the Eddie Hearn, Joshua's promoter, wants Deontay Wilder to fight Dillian White because he thinks that would be the next, like, he should beat him to fight Joshua. But he won't give him a promise that if he beats White, then he'll get the fight against Joshua. Well, How would you feel if you were Wilder in this?
Well, you know, I would say, you know what? You're going to be a promoter, be a good promoter. I mean, is that what the fans want? The fans want a fight. They want to see Joshua and Wilder. There's no getting around that.
I think he's just trying to protect his guy.
He wants to protect him just like Oscar did with Canelo.
Exactly. That's
They figure, you know, let's see, maybe something happens. He wants to keep that.
It's all down the drain if you lose to Wilder.
He wants to keep that Joshua fighter. He wants to keep him there forever.
Especially when that money's coming. He
knows if he fights Wilder, the chances are, you know, the percentages are not going to be
not as good as they were against Carlos Takam.
Exactly.
And he still made $10 million against Takam.
Yeah. Well, in boxing, you have to protect your fighter. And Eddie Hearns knows that he has to do something. But Eddie Hearns is also looking at other fighters.
Oh, yeah.
He started to look at American fighters now.
Yeah, he just signed Danny Jacobs.
Danny Jacobs.
He's got a fight this weekend.
Yeah. He's fighting Danny Jacobs, and Danny Jacobs, you know, going to go against Luis Arias, who's a fighter. I never really heard of him.
He
has a good record, 18-0 with 9 knockouts. But, you know, that's how you do it. You know, if the fans want to buy it, good. But the real fight fans will probably skip that channel and say, you know, Danny Jacobs, yeah, he's good. Who's Luis Arias?
Yeah, I don't know. I think people want to see Danny Jacobs still because Danny Jacobs, I mean, what they call him, the Miracle Man, because he had that bone cancer and came back. And he's always been a really good fighter, a great middleweight.
Yeah,
I like him, and I'll be watching it. But I know what you're saying. I think it's the same thing. It's what Eddie Hearn does. He'll set his guys up against guys that maybe aren't on the same level. You know, it's what most promoters do. And then, unless you can get that payday, it's the reason why Canelo fought Mayweather.
Well, you know,
it's the reason why Joshua fought Klitschko.
Yeah, well, you know, Jacobs fought the middleweight Golovkin.
Oh yeah, 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 and Eddie Hearn says that he won that fight. Which
I was a close fight. It was a competitive fight. You know,
I think that was one of those where Triple G had to do that because he wouldn't get the fight with Canelo unless he looked a little weak.
Yeah, yeah. But I tell you, Golovkin is somebody to reckon with right now. He reminds me of a strong, tough guy, but he has more skill. But he reminds me something of Gene Fulmer. Gene Fulmer, back in the days, he fought Sugar Ray Robinson. I think he was like six times, and he was he was like a bull. He keep fighting, and keeps coming forward, takes a bunch of. But Golovkin has a little bit more skills than Gene Fulmer did back in those days. But those are the kind
you
of
you got Golovkin that, number one on yours?
Huh?
On your pound for pound list right now?
Oh yeah, he's number one right now.
Yeah.
He's definitely number one. And we're doing, as a matter of fact, we're doing the rankings later on this week.
Oh really? Can I ask you got number two?
Number two, well let me tell you, right now I'm still looking at the list. It's kind of close in there. You know, Lomachenko is in there.
Yeah, he's in there.
You know, Lomachenko is he's gonna be fighting in December. He's fighting Rigondeaux.
Oh my God! Which is going to be? I hope it's a good fight because I've been rooting for Rigondeaux his whole career. It's a guy who's gotten ducked forever. Now he's 36, 38, however old he is.
Yeah,
he's old. He goes up two weight classes.
Yeah, but but you know what? He has in his. He got the experience on his side.
He's a monster,
but,
dude.
Lomachenko's got the age
and the footwork,
and the
angles.
And angle. He got all kinds of movement, good ring mechanics. He's got it all. I mean, he's going to be tough for Rigondeaux to overcome
Lomachenko,
but Lomachenko only has like what 11 fights,
10
four
and
fights,
10 and 1. Lost to Salido. It was controversial.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's controversial, but if it was, what if they give him a rematch?
That's the real question. Honestly, Salido's been dying for that rematch.
And Salido's he's got to be in his 30s already.
Yeah,
32.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know why they won't give him a rematch. Honestly, I think it'd be smart.
He earned it. If anybody earned a rematch, it's Salido. Orlando Salido, a tough Mexican warrior who comes to fight.
Who you got higher on your pound for pound, Terrence Crawford or Lomachenko?
Well, I got to go with Lomachenko.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd probably put Crawford ahead of him, but we'll see after this next fight.
Yeah.
And then you got Crawford or Canelo?
Well, I still got to go with Crawford on that.
I agree with that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but Canelo's Canelo's top 5 pound for pound,
He's in there. He's definitely one of the top pound for pound fighters in his division, in the middleweight division. He's doing great.
Oh, yeah.
But pound for pound, he's in the top, maybe top six.
Pound for pound's fun right now because you got guys like Anthony Joshua and guys like what's his name, Rungvisai from Thailand, who just put on a show against the previous
Chocolatito.
Yeah, Chocolatito, exactly.
Yeah, he's
pound for pound's fun right now because you don't know what's going on.
Backing them out. Yeah, but you know Joshua winning. And Wilder winning.
Mm-hmm.
I still put Wilder above Joshua. I mean, Joshua beat Klitschko.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he beat this other guy, but who did he really beat? I don't even think he
beat a 40-year-old Klitschko who'd already lost to Tyson Fury, and Klitschko knocked him down.
Yeah.
And then again, I mean, you know, and that's the funny thing is that everyone says that about Wilder. Everyone. Who's he beat? Who's he fought? Who's he beat? Who's he fought? But who is Joshua beat other than Klitschko?
That's it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a gold medalist. He's a great fighter.
Like, I mean,
he's handsome. He's got the whole package.
He's an up-and-coming fighter, no question about it. But he didn't impress me in that fight with Takam the other day.
He definitely didn't. He didn't impress anybody in that fight.
You know,
they say it was a stylistic
issue. I don't like the stoppage of the referee.
Oh, no.
You know, that was like, what? When he stopped, I said to myself, what? Come on, man. If you're going to stop it, wait till the guy gets rocked or his hands go down. Was he impressed with all the blood because he was cut? But the blood was not.
He wasn't bleeding. He was cut, but he wasn't bleeding all down his face.
He
looked okay to me.
I think that, to me, that would have happened here. Like I said before, that would have been a controversial stoppage.
I agree with you, but it happened in his hometown.
Yeah, people were happy, so nobody going to complain. But I was watching it from here. I said, as soon as he stopped, I said, what? Come on. Come on, ref. Are you kidding me?
And I was rooting for Joshua, obviously, and it still was weak.
Yeah.
Let me ask. You see these two guys on a collision course. This Wilder. I mean, there's four guys, but there's two guys that everyone talks about.
Yeah, Joshua.
Wilder and Joshua.
Right.
And then you think back to, like, I mean, in my lifetime, I can think of, obviously, the biggest collision course fight was Pacquiao Mayweather. Let me ask, like, where you saw them in each other's sights for years, and you just couldn't wait for them to make that fight. Historically, because you've been around this game for a few years.
Yeah, I've been a few, yeah.
What were some other ones where you saw the buildup from way back that you just couldn't wait to see? What does this remind you of?
Well, it was Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Sonny Liston was heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
He was knocking everybody out.
He was a monster.
Yeah, Ali called him the ugly bear.
Yeah, he called him a lot of horrible things.
Yeah, so... And people want to see Cassius Clay get knocked out. They called him Cassius Clay.
That was his name.
Yeah, that was his name, his birth name. Anyway, then he converted to a Muslim and became Ali. But it was good to see those kind of fights. You know, they were really drumming it up. And then another fight was also Ali and Foreman.
Yeah.
You know, the Rumble in the Jungle.
That fight.
And how about the Thrill in Manila?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those are fights that people wanted to see.
Oh, my God, yes.
Two guys get into the pinnacle of their career and fight each other. I mean, when Ali fought Frazier the first time, Frazier beat him.
Yes.
Frazier put him down with a left hook in Madison Square Garden. And by Arthur McCanty Sr. I call Arthur McCanty Sr. the referee, and who was the dean of all referees. The
father
said, oh, yeah, Arthur McCanty Sr., his son, you know, who just refereed
of course.
Saturday night, Junior, he's also a decent referee, but his father was the best of the best.
Yeah, well, his son knows how to stop fights, for sure, because he can't let that one go on any longer.
Yeah, he stopped it right, yeah. But so talking about those days, when Frazier put on Ali, and that's when people want to see Ali's mouth get shut up, because he was always, you know, yakking, yak, yak, but, you know, He was selling the fight real good.
That's that, the Mayweather method where people hate you enough, they don't have to love you enough. They'll keep buying.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about people hating people, hating fighters, McGregor and Mayweather fight. All the McGregor fans came out to see Mayweather get shut up.
Oh, my God.
I mean, but he was quiet throughout the promotion.
He actually was,
He let McGregor was doing all the talking. And, you know, he sold it pretty good.
It's kind of funny that you think he kind of just stepped back finally. Like, you know what? For the first time, I don't have to sell this fight. Like, somebody else is going to do it for me. I could just sit there.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a great year, 2017.
I got to say, it was. I mean, how many great fights did we get this year? Yeah. So many. We got the Superfly tournament. We had these huge heavyweights just gearing up for the next year.
The middleweight, Canelo.
Oh, my God. Probably the fight of the year. Andre Ward's
Golovkin,
fight in the beginning
Ward.
Of the year.
But Andre Ward retiring. I mean, I still say he's going to come back.
Do you?
I still say he'll come back.
If he came back right now, is he number one pound for pound again?
No. He's not. Now he got to work his way back
in. Really?
I mean, he just retired recently.
Yeah, like a month
ago. For him to come back, I mean, he'll be in the top 10 right now if he came back right now. But he's not going to come back right now.
No, I know what you're saying.
If he comes back, he'll probably be a year or so down the line. Then he got to work himself back into top 10. But
he looks pretty comfortable in that, he's in that
young.
Analyst chair.
He's only 33 years old.
Yeah.
As a boxing analyst at HBO, he does a good job there. So, you know, I hope
he's happy no matter what he's doing. You know, if he misses the squared circle and he wants to come back to the Sweet Science, then I hope he does. If he's happy not doing it, I just hope he doesn't have to do it for money or anything else like a lot of these guys.
I think he's pretty well set.
He seems like a smart guy. Yeah,
a really intelligent young man. He's a clean cut. You never hear anything. No problems.
Nothing.
No drugs.
He's never in the news at all.
No. At least in the good news.
That's, but I mean, like you never hear anything about.
Yeah, nothing bad, nothing negative about him. Yeah, he's a good young fighter. And now we got the 2018 coming around the corner. There's a lot of. On the horizon, we see a lot of good things that are happening. So I think that boxing is going to be good 2018.
I think 2018, I think we get the Triple G Canelo rematch. I don't think we get it in May. I think we get it in September. I think we get the Wilder-Joshua fight eventually, as long as neither one of them lose. And I think Superfly 2 is going to be a lot of fun. Inouye is not going to be in it, but you're going to have a lot of other big guys. I'm excited for 2018.
It's going to be another great year. And, you know, what gets me is that people saying that boxing is dead. Come on, are you kidding me?
I can't even imagine.
You know, boxing is definitely on the rise. Hey, I heard something the other day that Dana White is trying to get some boxing fights.
Yeah.
Some fighters on the UFC.
Under
the same umbrella.
That's I kind of like that, man. I'm all for that.
Yeah, it could be something. You know, I said it before. When they asked me, Joe, you're training McGregor. You're helping McGregor with the rules on boxing. Do you see that as something that's going to be good for either sport? I say yes.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good for boxing. It'll be good for MMA. And if it starts to happen now, fighters coming under the UFC umbrella, mm-hmm. Well, what happens? That means that Dana White will start promoting fighters and UFC fighters.
Yeah, all you got to do is look at this weekend. You look at that Deontay Wilder fight. It still did 800 and something thousand on Showtime. But the reason, it would have done more, but there was a UFC fight. It was George St. Pierre, who's one of the most famous fighters ever, versus Bisping. If you take that out of the equation, then that Wilder fight sells way more. What if they're on the same card? What if they're working together?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think Dana White is thinking wisely about doing that. I mean, Dana White was complaining about that. Bob Arum has said that you're not going to go any place with your UFC stuff.
Yeah.
You know, UFC has really, they market the sport very well.
They run their business well.
Yeah, yeah. And now you see where they're at. And you see all the pay-per-views they get on the UFC. And I mean, they sell out these arenas much quicker than do with boxing.
They put together the fights that people want to see. Like, you have to. When you have that big umbrella, you can do that.
Yeah.
This Joshua Wilder fight would be happening right now if it was UFC.
Well, let's see what happens
by
the end of the year or next year.
I'm excited, baby.
All right, guy. Well, the end of the year, we're talking about by the end of next year. This year, we know it's not going to happen.
No, no. But there might be better talks.
It'll be good talk before the end of the year now. They're doing good promoting on it.
They sure are.
Let's see what happens. Okay, this is Joe Cortez with the Fair But Firm Boxing Talk Show. And John Zimmel, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you,
buddy. Hey, fans, we'll see you out there next week.